Hi, and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute and answer your questions live on YouTube. If you want to help us out, be sure to subscribe to our channel and add us to your podcast feed over on iTunes or Google Play. And if you want to represent TFC, head over to our merch store for t-shirts, stickers, mugs, and posters. You can go to designbyhumans.com/shop/theflutechannel. Finally, if you're looking into buying a new flute, be sure to check out the Flute Center of New York at flutesforsale.com. With our code TFC at checkout, you'll be able to try up to 3 flutes or piccolos, and whichever instrument you choose, you get an extended 18-month warranty on it. So be sure at checkout to put in the special code TFC at flutesforsale.com. Now on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Amélie.
How's it going, Amélie?
Good, how are you?
Good. So yeah, we're going to start off the podcast. I know you have a concert tomorrow, huh? Pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's not really.
You're just like a guest artist.
Yeah.
To play.
I'm invited.
Yeah.
So it's my my piano teacher when I was in high school, and she was also my accompanist, and we always kept in touch. And she's amazing. She organizes a lot of events. So throughout the years, she invited me to different things, and now this concert.
Uh-huh.
It's to get funds for the choir that she manages.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm gonna play Chaminade with her.
Yeah.
And that's cool because I played in high school as well with her, so it's a reminiscence, you know.
Ah, so cool.
I hope I played better than back then.
Uh-huh.
But yeah,
so yeah, we're here answering your questions for today. So if you guys are live here in the chat, be sure to let us know in the comments and we will look at it and we will answer some questions. Main topic today was just sort of talking about like how I know we've been recently getting a lot of questions about how to get back into shape, because a lot of people start from a lot of people they play the flute for a while, usually high school or something, and they play a little bit and then they kind of stop for like 10-20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And get a lot of people asking what would you advise to sort of get back into shape? And also just people who maybe even took shorter hiatuses and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
Even
at our festival, we had a lot of people who played to a very high level even. Mm-hmm. You know, people who had bachelor's in flute.
Totally.
And they stopped while they had kids and a career. Uh-huh. And another career, not in music, and now their kids are older and they're starting again. I guess maybe a good thing would be to join a ensemble, like a band, or maybe play with others is a good motivation to start playing again. But if we're talking about basic stuff to be on, like get back in shape when you play, well, it's all about support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blowing enough air. And what would you say? Like, I would say that our video about getting rid of the air in your sound,
mm-hmm,
would be efficient. That's for people who are coming back. Uh-huh. To it, because there's good exercises there.
Yeah, like long tones and make tiny goals, like take a piece, even take some pieces that you used to like.
Mm-hmm.
And try to play it again with a metronome so you can get back to a good rhythm. Some people, they play old pieces, but then they kind of play it the way they played it back then, which might not be very, mm-hmm, solid. So a metronome really will put you more into place about how things.
I think with a good teacher.
Teacher can go a long way.
Yeah, because even if sometimes you need retroaction. You need an outside perspective. Someone who looks at you and says, oh, here's what's wrong. Because you can look for a long time,
sure,
and not find it.
Mm-hmm.
That can be helpful. But playing harmonics, playing...
not too much. Some people play harmonics too much.
Yeah, that was very, very sad when I heard that.
Yeah, I read a comment on the channel. Somebody was practicing harmonics for quite a long time, for about 30, 40 minutes, just more than they should have, really, before a concert. And they actually got stuck and was playing only in harmonics.
Yeah.
And could not get back into the regular way of playing. So, you know, I think when we talk about harmonics and playing those and helping your tone, I think very short periods of that at a time. 'Cause
I never meant for people to play. Like, I hope I didn't.
No, I think it was a general thing. I don't think it was like a video directly correlating towards you teaching them that. Just somebody told a story about it.
Okay.
So.
Because I hope I didn't make some people believe it. It should be practiced a long time. It's really something you do for a minute, mm-hmm. and then you do your high notes, and then it helps.
Yeah.
But it's like everything else. Too much of a good thing becomes a bad thing, mm-hmm. I guess.
So yeah, we have some questions now, which is great. Nevi Chan, he says, he plays viola, and he applies all of our flute techniques to his viola playing. And he likes us. Thank you. That's so cool.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's amazing. That's
cool. I wonder how,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The concept of air.
Yeah.
Maybe air is like the bow,
maybe,
the constant movement. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be very interested in, like, how do you apply those concepts to... Mm-hmm. Other instruments. It's very interesting.
Ava Cincello says she plays a flute and can't seem to play the high notes. Do you have any suggestions? And Surin says that he has the same problem and also has airy tone in the high notes.
Okay. Well.
Let's conquer that question first, and then we'll also get more questions down in the bottom.
And I'm going to put my chocolate away because I was having my dessert.
Yeah, dessert time.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Because I can eat chocolate nonstop if I don't put it away. So we have a video that's pretty good about high notes, but I would say airspeed is a big thing. So when you play low notes, your airspeed is slower, and when you play high notes, it's faster. That's very important because sometimes we overdo the lips. We think the lips are so important,
uh-huh.
when really they're just doing the finishing, you know. But the real core issue is the airspeed.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to feel like really know if you're using fast or slow air, you can blow in your hand. If you blow warm air, uh-huh. it's going to be slow. It's what you need in the low register. And when you blow fast air, it's going to be cold.
Uh-huh.
That's what you'll need in the higher register. Another thing that I see people doing, when they go in the high register, they aim high because they visualize high, but the flute is is under you.
Uh-huh.
So if you aim your air outside of the flute, you're not going to get any sound. So remember to blow down. That seems like a stupid thing to say, but it's not.
But it's an obvious. Like it's
it
good.
Seems
yeah,
obvious,
it seems obvious,
but that's what teaching is sometimes,
teaching is,
just
yeah.
saying obvious things.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
be careful not to blow out, like to visualize your notes above you. Always visualize notes under you because that's mm-hmm. where your flute is and that's where you need to blow your air.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that helps a little bit. We might make some more videos about that for sure.
And airy tone sometimes also, it's because you don't send the air on a specific point on your embouchure plate.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to be a bit more precise with where
Maybe.
You send the air.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to make the sound resonate in your head. Maybe you're too tensed.
Maybe.
When you're nervous about playing, you tense up, it's not going to help your sound. You have to learn to relax. Don't be scared of the notes. Go with...
Yeah, just go with the...
Go with, how do you say, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully it answers a little bit of your question.
They can ask sub-questions.
Yeah, sub-questions too, of course. And what is she doing?
Misty.
I think she has a piece of paper or something.
We have a
dog with a
dog.
Doing weird stuff. there's another.
She's funny.
Yeah. How often do you play gigs? What are your favorite gigs to play? By Daniel Perkins.
Well, I don't gig as much as I used to because I don't play. I used to sub more and I used to play weddings and sorry. I used to play, yeah, weddings, all types of music while people are doing other stuff. But now, I don't do it as much. I like playing concerts, and I like chamber music a lot. I like, I played a couple of concertos, not that many, but I really enjoyed that. I like playing in orchestra. Yeah, I guess I got tired at one point of playing the, you know, the ambiance music type of thing. Uh-huh. I did it for a long time.
No. I mean background music, yeah.
Background music.
Background gigs and stuff, yeah.
I don't do it as much. I did it a lot when I was younger, and now less. But yeah, I love chamber music really.
Mm-hmm. Also coincides with how many hours do you practice a day? Well, when we were young, we practiced a lot.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, I know some people who get older, they still practice the same amount, which is, I guess, fine. But most people, I think, don't practice more later on because of time, you know? And plus, you're already getting more efficient later on in life, so you don't need as many hours
to practice. I was younger, when I was in high school, I practiced an hour of piano, an hour of flute a day.
Yeah.
Because I was doing two instruments. Then when I got in, they call it cégep here in Quebec, like
college,
pre-university.
Pre-college, yeah. Oh, pre-university, yeah, pre-university, yeah.
I was still doing piano and flute, but 2-3 hours of each a day. But then it was too much. I was like, how can I? Because both my teachers were saying you need to practice 3 hours a day. Mm. So there's not enough hours in the day if you have to do all the other courses. Then I went in flute. I did 3 hours a day during my bachelor's. And then my master's, 3 to 5 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now I live on my reserves, I would say.
You live off of your skill and like your developed skill, yeah.
I practice.
Reserve. Yeah, that's a good way.
I can not practice for 2 weeks. Take my flute.
Mm-hmm.
Day before, do a couple of exercises that I know help me a lot, and the next day I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Would you always say that you're kind of thinking about rhythms and stuff like that throughout the day, even when you're not practicing? Or
I teach music a lot, so I do music all the time.
So you do music all the
time,
so I
have music
in
my head all the time. And I have a habit that's, I don't know if it's good or bad, it's just a habit. Uh-huh. I move my fingers all the time,
uh-huh.
But not randomly. I play music.
I've seen the people, how people do this, you know.
Oh, that's not what I do.
I know, that's not what you do, okay.
No. I know people. Some people do like the thumb with each finger to reinforce their fingers.
Yeah,
but
I don't.
Do you need strong fingers to play the flute? I don't think you need
strong fingers.
You need
reactive fingers.
Or
fingers that can, like,
nimble. You need
light.
Fingers that light and that can move fast. But
yeah.
Strong.
Any coordination.
And I think a lot of physiotherapists will tell you that strong sometimes goes against fast. Uh-huh. So I don't think it's.
Yeah.
Well, I never practice that, and I don't have any problem playing fast, so
I try not to think about strength. I just think of coordination, always.
Yeah.
I don't just move them. I actually go like F-A, 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 F-A.
But what I do is not that. It's not even a process that is conscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sometimes I sing in my head, and my fingers start moving, because they go with what I hear in my head. So, like, my family members who know me, when they see me doing that with my fingers, moving my fingers, they ask, what are you playing, you know? I'm like, oh, I'm playing the G major Mozart concerto, or I'm playing. So I'm just, and I sometimes I have a conversation with someone and I have a background music in my head and I'm playing it. So yes, and it's not really, it's just my subconscious, I guess, playing music for myself. That's, I don't know if anyone else does that. Do you do that, or am I?
No, I do it sometimes too. Yeah. Z Scotto, she has a question. She's like, she's playing flute and piccolo in the pit in a musical this week. That's pretty awesome. Have you ever played in a pit? And what are your general tips? I have.
I played in operas.
Yeah. I played
mostly.
In musicals. I played in like West Side Story and Les Misérables and stuff like that. It's fun. I think when you play in a pit, it's a lot smaller. Your parts are exposed. For me, I just learn my parts and knowing the parts pretty well and knowing that if something goes wrong, it's just the musical people really trying to really pay attention to, you know, I don't know, for me, if I ever, I think the point of a musical is like you have to keep moving, like there's no going back type of thing.
No, and that's in music in general.
Yeah, but I think
you can't ever, yeah, like it's life as well, you can't go back.
I don't know, just it's a smaller group of people, so I think make your parts really sound.
Yeah. I would say that's my idea. Really focus on the conductor because he's the one who's making the bridge between the singers point. And you. You don't see the singers, no, but he's the only one who sees them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why very often when those productions are touring, the conductor stays the same for dancers or for operas or musicals. Mm-hmm. They will take pickup musicians or how do you call it? Like a pickup orchestra.
Yeah, pickup orchestra, pickup musicians, yeah.
But they will keep the same conductor because you can't have a new conductor changing tempos or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the conductor is really the one bridging.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to be connecting one with the conductor.
One with the conductor, yeah. That's a good point.
And also, like any other orchestral gig, open your ears, try to blend. Try to be in tune. And yes, know when you're supposed to be out and when you're supposed to blend with others.
Yeah,
but like, that's for any orchestral music. But I would say with those types of things, really, you always have to be with the conductor. But I guess in those situations, even more. Because
there's less as well.
Also, you don't see what's going on, mm-hmm. but he or she sees it. So you mm-hmm. really have to... That's what's keeping everything together.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully that helps. A little general tip. But it's fun to play in musicals. I think those are some of the funnest things. Operas and musicals. Very cool.
I played with... I didn't know... I don't think I did musicals. Mm-hmm. But I did operas. A couple. Like, it's fun. My thing is I get curious when I play for an opera or mm-hmm. a ballet or stuff like that. I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Now you want to know what's going on.
I'm too curious. I have to really focus because I always want to turn my head and go and look. But you shouldn't do that. I don't do it, but it's like I have this urge to see the show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trevina Turner asks, any tips on how to not get frustrated when practicing?
Well. I get frustrated too sometimes, especially if I say I can sound good, fast, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I don't sound good or sometimes I don't sound the way I want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I didn't even have time to practice a day before something important. And then the thing is, when you're frustrated, it gets worse because your sound, you can't, like, flute is a happy instrument. You need to kind of be happy to play it and sound good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think first thing is to acknowledge that you're frustrated and maybe don't judge yourself for it, because if you start feeling guilty on top of frustrated, it's not going to help you. So just acknowledge it. Try to see where that feeling is in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And just observe it and just breathe in. Breathe into it and then start playing and don't think about it too much.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
And also, sometimes when I'm frustrated like that, I try to think about around my heart. Okay, that's my own visualization, okay? And I kind of smile, because if you smile, it sends chemicals to your brain, huh? Sends a signal that says, hey,
exactly.
Everything's going well. So I smile, and sure. I try to feel the connection between my brain and my heart, because there are two nerves that go from your brain to your heart.
Uh-huh.
And I breathe into it and I say the sound yum in my head, because yum, it's like with that yum. And then I try to just feel that happiness and blow in my flute. I blow in my flute with that sound. Yum.
Right.
Okay. It's my own thing. Okay. Maybe it won't work with someone else, but for me, like yesterday, I was frustrated with my sound and I had to record something.
Sure.
And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, it's okay, you're frustrated. Sometimes life is frustrating. And I thought, where is it in my body that I feel that feeling? And then from there, I just decided to make myself feel something else. Because we very often identify to our feelings, but our feelings are only feelings. They're not who we are. And they don't control us, and we can change them.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
They're just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that helps. That was Trevina that asked that. Very interesting question. Do you know when you need to upgrade? I have a beginner's flute, and I'm self-taught, so I don't have a teacher to tell me exactly when to upgrade and to what intermediate flute. Okay. It all depends where you are, what type of level you're at, I guess. Like, level is in terms of, like, if you're doing, or you're doing a certain grade level of a certain system, like Royal Conservatory, all those things, so you can help yourself get to understand where you are, you know?
I guess if you try, let's say you go in a music store, be careful because they're trying to sell you stuff. But
yeah, they're trying to sell you.
Stay calm, and maybe, or when you go to a convention or a flute festival and there are flutes to try, try some flutes and maybe bring your own and compare. And if you don't feel a difference, then don't change.
Yeah, don't change to that one or whatever. You know? Yeah, exactly.
If you feel a difference, then maybe yes. Also, you can have your flute looked at by a professional, a technician, who will tell you. I have a student, she had a flute which I was looking at her and I was telling her, your sound is not what it's supposed to be. You're doing everything right, but the sound is not following. And she went and saw the technician, and the technician said, that flute has a lot of problems. I could repair it, but it would be more expensive. And then she decided to upgrade her flute. But you can have a technician look at it. You can try different flutes and you'll see.
Yeah, try. You have no obligation to buy when you try flutes. No. You know, no matter what the person tells you, just if you want to go and see what you can afford, and if there's something that you think sounds better, trust your instinct a little bit.
And you can bring someone with you. Yeah. That can listen to you and tell you if you do sound better or not.
Totally.
If you're with someone else, the person can give you the flute and you don't even know which one you're trying. You know, blind tests.
Yeah, blind tests are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the way if you don't have a teacher.
Maybe it's one of the ways.
But good flute that's in good shape can go a long way. Even if it's not an amazing.
Even if it's not a professional model flute, because. I could say, to be honest, like a flute like a Yamaha 222, if you throw that flute 100 years ago into the past, it's still a pretty damn good flute, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know some people that played in orchestras on cheap student flutes.
Well, you're better off with a student flute that's in good shape and that closes well than a professional flute that doesn't close well.
Because it just won't sound. That's it.
Because that's really what's important.
Yeah, the pads got a seal and make a good seal. That's pretty much it.
Because sometimes also it might be that. Maybe your flute needs an overhaul. Like, that's the whole thing.
A good technician can really help you with that and make things easier. And it's worth the money if that's what you can afford, you know?
Yeah.
Usually a student overhaul shouldn't cost more than $300 if it's just the pads, usually. If there's things that are like the mechanisms and something's wrong there, then prices go up, you know? So try to be light on your mechanism.
But they'll tell you
if
it's the case, and then you'll see if it's worth doing it or buying new or whatever.
Yeah. And estimates are usually free, so don't be scared to go and ask the technician, could you give me an estimate, please? And all those things.
And then I'll think about it. Yeah,
and then they'll be happy to do that.
And you don't have to decide right away. You can think about
exactly,
it.
Right. Yeah.
Sleep on it. Yeah. You know.
So hopefully that answers your question. Do you have a favorite conductor? To listen to?
You love Chili Budaki.
Yeah, Chili Budaki is a really good conductor.
Yeah. Bernstein. Yeah, I like watching YouTube videos with him.
I like watching YouTube videos too. Yeah. For me, that's it, yeah. Really.
I'm not really a...
conductor person, yeah.
Well, I'm not a big...
band, orchestra geek, learning, listening to, and watching orchestra stuff.
It's not really in my personality to...
Yeah, that's okay.
Glorify people, I guess.
Geek out about it.
Yeah, like, yeah. I will like people, and I will admire people, but I... even if as a teenager, I didn't have posters in my room, you know, I don't, you know, sure. I don't have that thing, but yeah, those conductors, they're past conductors, but they're great. Mm. I like conductors that are a bit, not minimalist, but almost, you know, that don't conduct what's not necessary to be conducted. Like when you have a solo and they conduct your solo, why are you conducting my solo? Just... Mm-hmm. I like conductors who are a bit like painters, and they look at the orchestra, because they have the outside perspective, you know? So they listen, and they're like, oh, a little bit more red here, a little bit more pink there, a little bit more yellow, you know? Give me less violin, a little bit more clarinet. That listen to what's given to them and react to it. But the conductors who just are listening to a CD in their head and conducting that CD, but not listening to the musicians,
right.
You can, you know when it's that. Mm. And it's not a communication. It's all about communicating. And I've had both. And yeah, music is communication. So it's all about reacting to that.
Hopefully that answers your question. Yeah. Ariana McGee asks, when... I play the flute. I lose my breath. I lose my breath so much. Do you have any tips?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a lot of breathing exercises.
Oh, we'll do one or two.
We have a video about breathing.
We do have a video.
It's an old video, yeah. But I think it's still good.
Yeah, it's still good, but we should make an HD version, like another version.
Yeah, maybe also a shorter version. Because I think two. I was very intense about breathing. Let's do a breathing video.
I'm sure. If you guys have seen that breathing video, let us know in the comments. I would like to know if any of you have gone back to the backlog of our channel. Some of our, I think it's in our first 10 videos. If you go by oldest, you'll see it's there.
Yeah. But, okay. So you have three levels of breathing. You have your belly, then you have your ribs, mm-hmm. your rib cage, and your chest here. So, you have to use your ribs as well. Sometimes teachers say, oh, breathe low. Don't raise your shoulders. That's, you know, if you're really opening your lungs or opening your rib cage, your shoulders are bound to go up a little bit. It's not, you're not raising your shoulders per se. Like, I wouldn't advise someone to do that, but I wouldn't advise someone to push down their shoulders while breathing up, you know. It's not better. I hurt my neck that way, I would say, so it's not good. And also, when I started breathing freely, I had enough air.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we overthink those things. Let your body just be free and do what it's supposed to be doing. So try to do hawaii. So hawaii is when you do ha, you breathe low in your belly, and then ah, you breathe in your rib cage, and e, it's just the chest that almost gets nothing. So you go hawaii. I don't know if you heard it in the microphone.
Probably. Hawaii.
So you go.
Okay.
And you have the three levels of breathing. That's a good way. You can also empty your lungs before you breathe in. You're gonna get even more air in. And then you can also do this exercise where you empty your lungs, then you breathe in, then you breathe out as much as you can. And when you think you don't have any air anymore, you go.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we think we don't have any more air. It's just we're not used to push all the way.
No, it's not. It's not in our tendencies to do that.
Yeah. So just training that, and also when you push your last bit of air, be careful not to bring your body backwards. Because if you, that's the natural tendency of everyone. You don't have any more air. You go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's counterproductive because you're elongating your muscles that need to be pushing. So instead, bend forward, and then you're going to push on your belly and you're going to be able to push that little bit of air. You can also do exercises. You put your metronome at 60 and you breathe in 2 seconds, like 60 is a second, and then you breathe out 2 seconds. You breathe in 2, you breathe out 4, breathe in 2, breathe out 6, breathe in 2, breathe out 8, and you try to go as long as you can like that.
Jam Cam was wondering, does that breathing technique work for the clarinet as well? Well, I'm not a clarinetist, but
I would think it works for breathing in general.
Breathing in general, yeah.
Singers, any instrument.
It encourages, especially for singers, because it's very closely related, the way of singing.
Because I know clarinet doesn't require as much air as flute. But I think it could work. Yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't work. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people want to hear you play. I heard you playing in your lesson. You were playing like Marais Marais, I think, or something like that.
Oh, no. I'll just take a little bit of water because I ate chocolate. And sure. I'll play something. Okay. I was practicing this.
Oh, Talian. No, let's play that.
I want to learn this piece, yeah.
Yeah, we'll play that. You can play that and then do a little piece here. And we'll answer a few more questions just after. And then I think that'll be the end of the podcast, but not yet. Let me just see here. Yeah, we're also going to be releasing a video tomorrow. Usually we release on Monday, but we're going to release one hopefully tomorrow night where you try a lot of flutes. You're going to try like 10 professional flutes all at once. Like, not all at once, but very, very cool stuff.
Not all at once.
Not all at once. That would be pretty funny.
Yeah. I didn't learn that. And so on.
Yeah, that's some guy.
It's the third movement. It's just some guy.
My guy named Ferroud. Ferroud.
Yeah, Pierre Octave Ferroud. It's 3 pieces for solo flute. And the first one is Bergère Captive, which means like a person who keeps the sheep. But she's a captive. And then Jade. And the one I was playing just now that I didn't learn yet is Toan Yan, the La Fête du Double Cinq, the Day of Double Five.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're cute pieces.
Yeah, they're very cute pieces. They're cute, nice pieces.
I'm gonna learn them properly.
And write them out. But you're also learning the Chardas and all those things as well.
Yeah, I have to practice that, and I want to learn Chandelinos for the summer for our flute festival. I would like to perform it then because I tend to replay stuff. I want to learn more new things because it's so easy to just replay and I don't have much time.
Right.
So sometimes I don't go and learn new things, but I want to keep my brain in shape to learn new things.
What is the difference between a piccolo and a flute? Well, one's a piccolo, one's a flute. Well, the piccolo
is smaller.
Smaller, and it plays up an octave.
Yeah.
It's an octave higher than the... So if you finger a G,
It's still a G.
It's still a G, but it's an octave higher.
Yeah, and when you read the G mm-hmm. on this, it's going to sound an octave higher. Mm-hmm. Like you don't read the notes that actually played. It's written an octave lower than what it's played.
Than what it's played, exactly.
And when you play the piccolo, you have to keep in mind that it's smaller, so everything is smaller. Yeah. You need smaller embouchure.
Embouchure, yeah.
Yeah, and you need to really support.
Yeah, even like 4 times more support. I always think 4 times. Yeah. Because it's 4 times smaller, you know?
Yeah.
Really, or just because if you do less, you just hear it. You hear it yeah. so much more if it's out of tune. Carmen just returned to the flute as an adult and started playing on the plastic Nouveau flute. Oh, I think you reviewed that one of those flutes, I think.
Yeah, we tried one.
I think it's Nouveau or it's one of those ones. Guo, but this one's Nouveau. Nouveau is another one, too. They unintentionally got a good sound on it, but they still have to work on their sound. Okay. Are any other questions here? Can you play the piccolo? Yeah, we can play the piccolo. I don't know where it is.
Somewhere.
We have so many.
Instruments here.
Our flute festival. Yeah. Video. So yeah, we have a flute festival here in Montreal. This is gonna be our 3rd year. It's 3 days long. It's open for everybody. We learn all different types of ways of playing the flute, from beginner to super mega ultra advanced. But we all come together, and Emily leads the morning classes, which are about 2-3 hours long, and then we have an afternoon class with another teacher as well.
And it's very, open. And in the morning, usually I ask people what they would like to discuss, uh-huh. what they would like. It's not like master class where you play a piece.
Some people don't know what a master class is, though.
Okay, but we have that people playing a piece, but we also have just questions. So I say, what would you like to work on? I don't know. Some people will say my high register or my low register or my tonguing or when I have to tongue a soft note or whatever.
It's a workshop. We have workshops.
And then we discuss that. We play together. And then when we have time, some people want to play a piece. And it's convivial. How do you say that?
It's open and friendly.
It's friendly.
Yeah, it's friendly. It's a friendly, very friendly festival. People have really enjoyed how we run it, and we have people from all over the world. We have people who come from Germany and from the United States and from around here. So,
and really, I think what's amazing, whenever I go to group classes, I went to a piano one last Saturday, and I missed the morning class, but it was younger children, and in the afternoon more advanced students. But I would have liked to see all of it if I had enough time that day. But it doesn't matter the level of the person. You can always learn. You'll either learn as a teacher, you'll learn, you know. And when I go to those classes, I always wonder. I sit there and I look at the class. I look at the person playing. And I'm like, what would I say as a teacher to that person? And I try to compare with what the person is saying in front and see, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, she says it this way. It's you can't not learn anything in that type of environment, because there's just so many ideas bouncing around, I think. And by looking at others, sometimes it's a good way, because when you go to your own class, you might be nervous a little bit and all those things, but when you listen to others, you're not nervous. So you have all this relaxed mindset. Yeah. And all this information just coming in, like, both are good.
Yeah, both are good, exactly. Well, there's a piccolo. You want to play a little piccolo? Piccolo. A little piccolo action.
I can play it maybe an octave higher.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the piccolo in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's all the questions we have, really. Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll be releasing hopefully a video tomorrow. But usually we release them on Monday. But we might release one tomorrow night. And
and I would say for people who are picking that first question, first one, let's circle the.
Yeah, let's go right back. Yeah, totally.
Just be patient with yourself, you know, and be proud that you're doing that for yourself.
Getting a new flute or getting coming back.
Oh, yeah, going or, back into you know, it.
Yeah, totally.
And maybe and try to have some type of organization in your practice. Even if you don't have a lot of time, try to segment it so you have a little bit of sound exercise and scales, a little study, and then your pieces. Even if it's 5 minutes each. Because if you only practice pieces and you never do any sound exercises, no scales, no nothing like that, you might feel that you're not progressing the whole thing as a flutist. And then your pieces are going to be longer to sound good, you know? Studies are also amazing because they're composed to make
flute studies,
to make you progress, you know? They're composed to make you work on legato, staccato, all those different elements of flute playing. And sometimes we skip those and we shouldn't. Sometimes I even have students who are, no, I don't do scales. No, I tend to say, okay. But then after a while, I come back with them and they're always happy that they changed their mind because they can see the difference, you know? Try by...
You're learning the alphabet with scales. The alphabet... Yeah. The scales are the alphabet of the flute.
You don't need to do an hour of that a day. No, just 5-10 minutes, it's enough. Just be balanced in your practice, you know? Find a balance between all those different elements of flute playing. Really start with playing all your notes. Legato. Even if it's... Even if you don't take that much time on each note, but really listen to yourself and do it as almost as yoga, you know, music yoga. Listen to your sound and be very mindful of what's the sound you hear and what's the sound you want and how you're getting to get both be the same thing, you know, and just be mindful of what you're doing that gives a good result and what you're doing that doesn't give a good result. And because if you're just practicing to practice and do time, it's not as efficient, you know?
No, exactly.
Have goals, and how are you going to meet those goals? So that's...
Yeah, we'll have to make a little video about beginners, just give ideas of how they can format a specific day and stuff like that. Also, you can check out our website, theflutechannel.com, and we have a warm-up there that's really helpful. It's really segments, and you can actually just use one of those little segments and go for as long as you want. And
I think when our book will be published, it's all there. It just needs, you need to finish putting it in a good format, because I wrote it by hand, most of it.
Yeah.
And will be helpful, because that's what we try to do. We try to make something that's comprehensive. And you don't have to have 5 books. You just have one book. You have sound, technique, studies, repertoire all together. And you just follow that and you're going to just grow.
Yeah. And it's almost like having the first 14 lessons with you. If you had a teacher, if you're like you as a teacher, this is what you would teach every week progressively. So this will be a great book for anybody who wants to start. We're going to be releasing that soon. It has 14 lessons or 15 lessons in it.
Yeah, and, there's even rhythm and sight reading. I try to put what I do with my students most of the time.
Of course, that's
put
what
it there.
I see that when I.
Plus, I thought, it's going to be helpful when I have students. I can just give that to them, and then they just we follow in that instead of me getting 5 books out and all those things. It's just going to be organized. Yeah. I like organization. I think I'm not that organized. People wouldn't think that when they see my room, my office, but
it's a disaster in here.
it's not so good. I need to put it I need to put stuff away because I take books out because I get excited. I'm like, oh, you should play this, you should play that, and then I don't put them away. And then at one point I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take an hour and put
Nick, where's my music? It's
but,
right there.
No, I usually find myself, but yeah, I think if you want to learn something, organizing it and being systematic is a helpful way. Yeah.
So yeah, the chat's been really active. You guys are awesome. I'm always checking back in there, seeing you guys talking to each other about stuff. That's great. So yeah, I think that will be it for today. It was amazing. You guys had great questions. We do this every 2 weeks. We are off for the Flute Podcast in 2 weeks, though. But we'll have some videos out during that time. There'll be a video released on two Saturdays
from now.
Very
sorry.
And same thing next week. We won't have a live show next week or the week after. But there will be videos out. And if you're watching this video after, be sure to comment down below and to let us know what you want us to answer next time. And if you have any requests as well, that would be really, really helpful for us. Also, watch the backlog of all of our videos. If you haven't seen all of our videos, we've got a lot of them. We're about to hit 19,000 subscribers. I think we've already hit it already, if I'm not mistaken, which is great. We're going to be at 20,000 subscribers very soon.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. It's all because of you guys. You guys are so amazing.
We should open a bottle.
Yeah, we're going to open a bottle of champagne when we release the book. 20,000 subscribers and all those things is going to be really awesome. And if you guys want to, like I said, hit that notification button as well. If you're watching live and you have to subscribe but you never hit the notification thing, do that now. That way you always know all the videos that we put out. And so you can see all of our videos whenever we put it out. Yeah,
we have a new video.
Because we will make a video about our book when it's released, so you guys can know exactly when to get it. And
And I will... My project is also to make videos that go with the book. So you can...
Yeah, there'll also be videos... Yeah, there will be videos that go with the book as well, which is going to be great, that are going to be available for everyone, but... The book is what you need to have both. They complement each other. Yeah, which is great. Yeah, it's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah, with the video, you won't have the music, so it's like...
You can still do it, but it's really helpful when you watch the videos. They complement each other very well.
Yeah, that's the project because... Exactly. Yeah, I think it's going to be helpful to have explanations as if you had a teacher there, you know. You don't have the retroaction that is a good tool, but at least you have good explanations with image and sound and...
Right.
And then you have the music, so... Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's really it for today. So, thanks, guys. You guys have been so amazing in the chat. Very cool. And be sure to come back to this video right after as well, after a couple hours, and just comment on it. Like the video again if you haven't liked it. And, yeah, that's about it. I'm Nick.
And I'm Amélie.
And we will talk to you guys next time. See you later.
See you. Bye.